Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Israel is going to go into the Canaan, the promised land, a heathen culture. Idol worshipers will dwell there, people who did not acknowledge the one true God. God wanted to prepare his people to give them every tool they would need to live in a godless culture. We still today live in a godless culture. I don't know that Christianity was ever designed to be the dominant religion. I believe that we were stuck here in darkness, and our job is to shine light and point people to Christ. That's our job. You say, well, Brother O'Malley, there are dark days. I know, and it's not just daylight saving time ending. There are dark days because of humanity, and people are not valuing truth as they should. They've abandoned the actual truth from the Word of God and are choosing their own truth. You perhaps have heard this in society. You have your truth. What's the response? I have my truth. Your truth is good for you. My truth is good for me. You live by your truth. I live by my truth. Is that factual? No, that's extremely feelings-based is what that is. There is only one truth, and God determines truth. So when God says, this'll work, you say, it'll never work. It doesn't match modern-day theories and ideas. Modern-day theories and ideas are just that. They're from the current time. These are thousands of years old and will work if you apply yourself. This morning, I gave the six things that God wants in every home that is going to have a godly home in a godless culture. All of these guys are turning because they're not sure who is going to be asked which principle is which. Starting here, from you who are here, what is your name first?
Daniel.
I hope you purpose in your heart to read me the first point. That was pretty good, but anyhow, church humor, it can be lost sometimes. Regard Scripture. If we are going to have biblical homes, we're going to raise godly kids in a godless world, there has to be a reverential fear of God's Word. Yes, sir. You're nudging him to remind him it's his turn. Way to go. Yes, sir.
Fear God.
Fear God. That's tonight's point, if we can get to it. Third point,
love God.
Rylan, practice righteousness. Yes, sir. Remember God. Is there another? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes. Train disciples. This is what has to be in your home. Where is Pastor Heaney? Your husband, where is he? He's out smoking. Okay. All during the song service, you know, the Bible talks about having a beam in your eye when you see a speck in someone else's eye. How many saw the glitter that was right here on his face? That's all I could see, the speck in his eye. Did you see it there, ma'am? Are you responsible for it? Anyhow, you guys are going to have a child, first one, right? Yeah. Means you have to set what your home is about. If you're going to build a biblical home, while you may have good models to look at in your own life, there is one timeless model, and that's the Word of God. In your home, you have to regard Scripture. In your home, number two, you have to develop or cultivate a culture of fearing God. You say, I have no idea what that means. Well, for the next 90 minutes or so, I'll get you out before the Waffle House closes. Start with me in verse 2. So if you do not know when the Waffle House closes, this is why you're a mission field. Second principle for the home, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Jump ahead to verse 13. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Verse 14. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. This is a heathen culture to which he is sending them. Verse number 15. By the way, Glitter Boy is back. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. 16, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. I can tell you this. When God's word is revered, remember regard scripture? When God's word is regarded, it produces a fear of God. Where God's word is disregarded, it produces a people who do not fear God. So fearing God is absolutely essential to understanding what it is to have a biblical home. You say, well, Brother O'Malley, that word fear almost becomes inaccessible, because when we look at that, it's the idea of having absolute dread, to be afraid or to be scared or to be lonely or abandoned, to feel friendless and to fear death or sickness or pain. These are common contexts that we apply to the word fear. We fear rejection, but we're talking about fearing God. Well, fearing God means that we have to have a deep respect for him and to show him respect. Ryland. Hi. Do you ever call your father Jason? Why not? It's his name. It's what his mother named him to be. It's disrespectful. What do you think would happen? Just kind of tease that out a little bit. What would happen at the house if you walked in and, hey, Jason, what's happening, buddy? You would be confronted. Somehow that has a deep and special meaning. Is that fair enough? Is he accurate, Brother Jason? Yeah? It's accurate. He has different views on his face than you do right now. The reason we don't do that is because you have a fear, a respect, a deep regard for your dad. To be afraid of your dad, not in the sense of dread, although there is a sense of dread there, but to say, I am scared just to even be at the table with him. But there ought to be a sense of awe about God. And if we're not teaching that at the house, then we're going to deal with the consequences of that. We'll have a people that doesn't fear God. So if there is no regard for Scripture, you can count on it, there will be no fear of God. If you regard Scripture, it will produce a fear of God. So number one, to fear God is to have deep respect. Now, by me saying number one, that doesn't mean it's big point number one. It's just little point number one. Fearing God is to bow before Him. I don't bow to anybody. He is God of the earth. He is God of heaven. Our culture, as Americans, as we are in a constitutional republic, we do not bow to a king. We have politicians. We vote them in, we vote them out. But we don't bow. So it's almost against a Western idea to say, I don't bow to anybody. But one day every knee will bow to God. And when I understand this idea of teaching my kids to fear God, it is okay to teach your kids to bow before God. We bow our heads. Why? We're starting a channel of communication with the Creator of the whole universe. Show deep respect. Can you casually speak to God in a conversation? Yes, He can handle that. But there ought to be this deep respect that you have that shows up when you pray. I do like to bow my head and close my eyes, not when I'm driving. But I want to have that sense of, I closed out everything, and now I'm talking to Him. Sometimes in singing, I prefer that. If I know the words, or the words have deep meaning, I'll listen to others around me sing. I'll kind of close my eyes out and just say, okay, let me think about all of this. Why? A fear of God. You go to a courtroom in our country, you are likely to hear the bailiff say, and I don't know this from personal experience, I just watched some TV, but the bailiff will say, all rise. Why? He's wearing a robe. He's the only guy in the room wearing a robe, and I'm going to stand for him? He's a judge. She's a judge. It's showing respect. The president of the United States walks in the room. We stand for the office of the president. You don't have to like the resident, but you do have to like the principle that we have the office of the president. And we stand for that. Why? Respect. So if we're teaching our kids in our culture, you be your own person, everybody's equal, nobody has any position, nothing. He's the God of the universe. He spoke the world into existence. The absence of a fear of God comes from an absence of regarding Scripture. When I regard Scripture and I teach my kid to do the same thing, it produces a fear of God. A fear of God, it's a deep respect. A fear of God means a sense of loyalty to Him. To fear God is to have faithfulness, fidelity to His word and His promises. It's to exhibit trust in Him just because of who He is and to obey Him. Fearing God, and this is quite important to remember, so this means we write things down that are quite important. A fear of God produces worship. Why? Because we realize how less than we are. Now, I'm not talking about some self-esteem issue. I'm talking about straight up, when you and I realize who God is, a fear of God will produce worship. Secondly, another important point in that is the fear of God is a response to His holiness. Who He is as God. Now, this means that we have to teach our kids. You say, oh, if I could start over again. You have to just start where you are. If your kid is 22 or your kid is 12 or your kid is 2, it doesn't matter. The fact is that you teach your kids when they're at your house, we worship God here. We don't show bad attitudes to our mother or our father. Why? Because we have a fear of God and His holiness and His righteousness. Ryland, you ever get in trouble for having a bad attitude? I can't even imagine. Yes. Truth, parents? Truth. The reason we can't have a bad attitude as young men and young women is because God is holy, God is righteous, God has already told you your job is to obey your parents. There's no room for a bad attitude there. I do not have a bad attitude. I do not use ugly words underneath my breath. I do not rebel because I fear God. So, oh man, if you had just come to our house for a few minutes, I bet you could straighten out the crowd at my house. Amen. Take this home. Amen. Open it. Read it. I say this carefully. Enforce it. This is God's word. You regard this, your kids will fear God. But, you know, they're watching you. You're their spiritual example. Say, are you tying my spiritual growth of my kid to my own spiritual growth? They're going to produce what they see in you. So if there is no fear of God in your life, then there'll be no fear of God in their life. Or they'll have to really swim upstream to fight to have a fear of God because some youth leader has worked with them to help them see what the Word of God says, or they've studied it on their own. You say, well, I don't know if I agree with this. You don't have to agree with it. It's just what God said. You're going to go in a heathen culture. Here's how you do it. You fear me. Fearing God is a system of God's presence. That is to say, Moses took his sandals off because at the burning bush because he was at or on holy ground, sacred ground. Noah feared God. Isaac feared God. Joseph feared God. The priesthood feared God. Hannah feared God. Job did. The widow's husband feared God. All throughout Scripture, you'll see time and time again, it is the fear of God that must be in our homes. I believe that our homes have long since forgotten fear of God. Look at how we regard Scripture. This regarding of Scripture produces a fear of God. When there's no fear of God at the house and people act any way they want, then there'll be no fear of God at the house of God. Rebellion will abound, attitudes will soar, and you will find misbehavior consistently because there's no regard of God. So, Brother O'Malley, it's hard. Well, it's the truth. So when we talk about how do we get our family to have a fear of God, here's some markers. Number one, when your family fears God, the first thing you'll do is you'll keep the word of God. Go back to verse number two, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and to keep. What does it mean to keep? To watch over, to safeguard, to protect, to hold on to. It's not just holding a physical copy of the Word of God, but treasuring it and cherishing it and providing a culture in the home that we worship the God of the Bible. So the idea is that if we're going to have a family that fears God, number one, we keep the Word of God. We keep it for the sake of ourselves. We keep it for the sake of our children. We keep it for the sake of the grandchildren. Ryland, if you are being taught at home that there is no higher authority in our home than the Word of God, if by some odd chance a girl agrees to marry you and you by some chance have children, the fear of God that you learn from mom and dad will be the fear of God that you pass on to your kid. That's why we do it now. For two generations after us, to teach them to fear God, to have a deep regard, a deep respect, a deep honor, a sense of reverence of who He is and what He wrote. We keep God's word. And what does He tell us? Verse number two, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. You say, does that really mean that? Yeah, your parents don't kill you when you're growing up, but I jest a little bit there. No, there is a sense of longevity of life for people who obey their parents. So I didn't really think about that. Go to Ephesians, same thing. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Why? Days may be prolonged on the earth. It's simply quoting from Deuteronomy. So a fear of God translates to how we keep God's word, how we treasure our God's word, how we revere it. If God's word, your copy of God's word, is haplessly tossed about when you get home, you're showing your kids the Bible has no value. It's only something we carry to church. Is that really the responsibility? Is that really what your kids want? You want your kids to be doing? To just treat the Word of God like you do? But what if they see you treasure it? What if they see you respect it? There are some people I know will never rest anything else on top of the Word of God. They'll never put anything, not a cup, not another book, nothing. They want it to be top. You say, well, that's just, God doesn't mind. I'm just saying to you, what matters is that you show your kids it is the most special book in your life. Let them see you read it. Let them hear you quote it. Let them hear you honor it. Let them hear you after church talk about the Word of God and what it said to you. That's the fear of God. How do we know our family is a family that's fearing God? We have this absolute clear thought in our mind that we keep the word of God. Number two, the second thing I notice is in verse 13. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Fear of God. I mentioned this earlier. I'll say it again. The fear of God produces worship. It's not just being in the building, attending. It's attention to the word of God. It's not singing words. It's singing worship. To say this song, you say, well, I don't have a skilled voice. I don't have God's very low standard for singing is joyful noise. That means any of you can do it. But that fear of God will produce worship. Because what have they learned during the week? We read the Bible together. We learned the Bible. We memorized verses. We honored the Bible. We revered the Bible. We come to church with our Bible to revere him and worship him. It's not just scanning the words on the page, but following the words that are on the page. Worship ought to bring out the best that we have to him. You say, well, I don't know all the songs. We have songbooks. Follow the words. Eventually, you'll learn the tune. Buy the songbook. Take it home. Start to sing the words of the songs at the house. Why? Because your kids ought to grow up in a culture where God is feared in your worship. Worship, it's not a me event. It's a him event. I am humored when I hear all of these adjustments being made to worship in our churches. We are going to have to adjust our worship to get people in. I've heard that. People don't want to hear old songs. People are tired of that style of music. We need to change our music. We need to change our singing. We need to change our musical expression. As if worship was about the attenders. Worship is not about those who attend the church. It's what does God want? We're worshiping him. So, well, I got to feel good about it too. No, he has to feel good about it, if you'll allow me to use your terminology. Meaning, I am here to worship God in song. Yes. Do you have styles that you prefer? Yes. Are there variety of styles? Yes. Does God choose one aspect of music? He said psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. This is what he chose. But we make worship to say, well, we're going to go with words on the screen. We're going to go with hymn books. We're going to go with only new songs. We're all going to only go with old songs. All I want you to worship, understand is the fear of God will produce a worship of him, and it's for him, not you. We're here to worship him. I had a friend of mine, he pastored a church. He said, John, we were at breakfast, and he said, John, they said, if I changed my Bible and changed my music and changed my position on alcohol, if I changed our service times, did I say change the Bible? Change Bible, music, worship, standards on music, and standards overall. If I cut all those out, our church will grow. He looked straight across the table at me, preacher, and this is what he said. You know what I got, John? Nothing. I changed all of those things. And I got nothing for it. We're not here to follow the latest trend out of some church somewhere else that's bigger than us. That's not our job. Our job is to create a fear of God in this church that we worship. This is why we tell our kids, behave in the auditorium. This is the place where we come together for worship. We're not trying to find out what's popular in York County, South Carolina in music, and we're going to give them that music so they come. What does God want? Pastor Haney is here. He was getting the speck out of his own eye while I was working on my beam. You led the music today. I don't know if music is part of your job description, if you're an assistant pastor, youth pastor. Okay. You have to have a very high fear of God, because it will be very easy for you to slip in music that is me-centered and not him-centered. I don't know who reviews the music here, but if you're not careful, you'll allow stuff to slip in that is sensual-based and carnally-based. And if you do that, you're taking attention away from the God we are allegedly worshiping. You say, well, fear of God plays out in every aspect of our life. Yes. The job I take, the person I marry, in every aspect of life. Now, Mom and Dad, if you want me to promote marriage, I can stretch a little bit, but they're comfortable right where you are. But a fear of God affects our worship. The second thing the fear of God does is it affects our service to Him. What we do, not just how we worship or what we say or what we sing, but the fear of God produces serving. Serving is not just what happens in the pulpit or in the classroom. It is service that is the cup of water in His name, that standard. It is the idea of what we do with the sick in their affliction, or how we take care of the hungry or the strangers or the naked or the prisoners. It is that kind of work where we say, I am serving my God. I am not doing this for humanity. I'm doing this because of my God. A fear of God is where we worship and serve Him. Number three. Verse 14 and 15 teach me what, remember the first one, we keep God's word, we worship and serve Him. Number three, we follow one God in our home. Who is the one God we serve? Well, the God who created the universe. Verse number 14 and 15, ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are around you. So he's mentioning the carnal fact that is there. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. We follow one God. We do not bow at the altar of sports. We do not bow at the altar of school. We do not bow at the altar of work. We do not bow at the altar of fashion. We do not bow at the altar of trends and ideas. We do not bow at the altar of our vehicles. We do not bow at the altar of recreation. We do not bow at the gods of fitness. We bow to God. All those other things are extra things, but I've seen people give themselves over to their kids' sport, even to miss church, so you can bow at some baseball or basketball or football or soccer. Well, my kid, he might be a star. Okay, who's the creator of the universe? Who has priority in your home? Well, if my kid isn't there, what's going to happen? They're going to learn that God is to be feared over sport, over education, over everything. If we are not driving home a fear of God, we will have a generation that comes up after us and under our watch who left the faith and pursued other things because moms and dads did not teach their kids to fear God in a godless culture. You're going to have other gods around you. Don't bow to them. We have other gods around us, and some of them are the which I named just a moment ago. We teach our kids to worship God. We bow to Him, and we follow Him. Why? God is a jealous God. He wants no rivals. He wants all of your devotion. He wants all of your dedication. He wants all of your determination. We follow one God. So, well, our kids want to do this. Okay. Are you going to have to give up any element of the fear of God to let them do that? So that's not a fair standard. It was God's standard. God chose this. We ought to have a fear of God in our home. Last thing, and I'll review with you in just a moment because I've given you four things. Here's the first one. We keep God's word. We worship and serve Him. We follow one God in our home. And now verse 16. Last one, we believe God. Look at verse number 16 with me. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted Him in Massah. Massah is, or Massah is, Exodus 17. The people were thirsty. They complained. And they said, is God among us or not? He said, don't provoke me like that. You are to believe God. If God said, I can provide water in the wilderness, then I can provide water in the wilderness. But they doubted. They wanted to know, where is God? Is He even among us or not? Has He brought us out here for naught? In a home that fears God, we believe God. It's where we praise God, where we promote Him, where we point to His provision for us, where we depend on Him, where we seek Him. But in every way, this is how God designed our home. He wants our homes this way. It's almost as if we've walked away from the model of what He said to do, and we're doing our own thing. I'm not against podcasts, but people sometimes substitute the Bible for their podcasts. I'm not against the internet and blogs that teach different things, but when they become your authority and not the Word of God, your family will have no regard for Scripture, and then in turn they'll have no fear of God. Where there is no regard of Scripture, there is no fear. Where there is regard of Scripture, there is fear. So my question for you tonight is really double-edged. Is there a fear of God in your home? Well, I thought there was until you read that. Okay. A regard of Scripture will produce fear of God. I think that our Christianity has become social and cultural. And that's all. We've lost the sense of who He is. So why we want revival in our homes? Okay. Regard Scripture. Fear God. Would you stand with me?